Good morning, church. Please remain standing if you are able for the reading of God's holy word. Our scripture reading is John 6, verses 35 through 40, and it can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1657. "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Here ends the scripture reading. This is God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Wanda, for reading for us this morning. Joe, as always, thank you for leading worship choir. Thank you, as always, for helping to lead us in worship this morning. We are beginning in earnest here as we're going through a little mini-series in the book of John as we're looking at Jesus's I am statements. At Jesus's I am statements. My wife is telling me I need to speak louder. As we're looking into Jesus's I am statements. Did we hear that one there? There? Okay, we're good. As we dig into God's word, I invite you to open the copy of scriptures that's either in the pew in front of you or the one that you brought with you and follow along. It's always good to follow along in God's word as we are walking through it together. And so as we jump in here, I'm going to say two things that should be very clear to us, that should be very plain to us. Two things that we should all be able to relate to. Whether you're watching online or you are sitting in this room, I'm going to say two things that we should all be able to relate to fairly significantly. Number one, we as human beings are in a constant search for satisfaction. For satisfaction. We are in a constant search, a hunt, a manhunt, as it were. We have a constant APB out on satisfaction. That is a continual drive internally that we have to seek for satisfaction. Sometimes that seeking for satisfaction looks like disappointment because we don't find the satisfaction that we're looking for, whether that's in a job or in a relationship, right? Or in political realms, right? What happens so often when somebody's political party doesn't win and they show the losing side? You see this incredible amount of dissatisfaction, right? Why are they dissatisfied? Because they were looking for satisfaction in something else. And then you go to the other side and people are celebrating and the balloons are going off and the confetti is falling. Why? Because that desire for satisfaction has been met. When you go to a car dealership, Joe, you can plug your ears on this one, but when you go to a car dealership, the primary job of that salesman is to make sure that you are satisfied with the vehicle that you are test driving. Chuck's back there. Yep, that's it. That's why they want to get you in the car so fast. Wait, they want your money too. But the means by which they're going to get your money is by making you satisfied. with what you're driving. Turn on the radio, turn on the air conditioning, you know, give it out on the highway, give it a little pop of the gas. See, that's nice, right? Clunk, 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 bang. Whoops, let's go try a different one, right? They want to make sure you're satisfied, right? Satisfaction, satisfaction. The other thing, along with satisfaction, that we as humans are constantly chasing after is security. Security. I really don't need to say a whole lot more about that, right? That's pretty clear. We're chasing after security. We want security. We want safety. We want our families to be safe. Oftentimes, people move to Beacon Falls because it's a, and they'll move from Seymour, or they'll move from Naugatuck, or they'll move from Derby, or they'll move from Waterbury. Why do they move to Beacon Falls? Because it has this sense of security, has this sense of a small little pocket, a small little community where the schools are nice and the parks are nice and you can walk down the street and you can walk your dog, and it has this sense of security to it, sense of security. Yeah? And that's nice. There's nothing wrong with that, actually. I wish all of our towns in Connecticut offered that. I wish they did. But we are in a constant chase after those two things, satisfaction and security. Do you know who knows that? Do you know who knows that you're constantly seeking satisfaction and security? Jesus knows that. Jesus knows that you are in a constant search for satisfaction and security. And here in John 6, he's going to speak to both of those needs. He's going to speak to both of those needs. The need that we have for satisfaction and the need that we have for security. We are in this series where we're talking about Jesus' I am statements, the seven I am statements. And so here they are before you. I am the bread of life. You've got the first one, and that's where we're at today, John 6. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I am the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the true vine. We're going to be working through all of these over the next few weeks. And in these I am statements, we talked about this last week. In these I am statements, there we are today, I'm the bread of life. In these I am statements, Jesus is calling back to Exodus 3, where he, before he took on humanity, before he took on human nature, the Son has always existed with the Father. Divine, just as the Father is divine. God, just as the Father is God, okay? But the Son of God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and spoke to Moses. And when Moses is arguing with the Son as to who is going to send him into Egypt and why he's going to send him back into Egypt to save God's people out of Egypt, Moses argues with God over and over and over again. And one of the questions, a penetrating question that Moses asks the Son of God who's in the bush, who shall I say sent me? What is your name? Who should I say sent me? And the Son of God in the burning bush looks at Moses and says, you tell them that I am sent you. I am. I am who I am. Sent you. That gets picked up within a couple verses, and it gets conveyed as God's name, Yahweh. In your Bibles in the Old Testament, if you see L-O-R-D spelled in all caps, underneath that in the Hebrew is the name Yahweh, Lord, I am. I am who I am. I am who I will be, and I am the one who is going to save you. I am your salvation. I am your joy. I am your peace. I am your satisfaction. I am your security. That's what Jesus is going to say here in John 6. So what's happening here in John 6? At the beginning of John 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000. He starts making bread out of nothing, starts making fish essentially out of nothing, and he feeds the 5,000. After feeding the 5,000, the people say, oh my goodness, this must be the new prophet that Moses talked about back in Deuteronomy 8. Let's make him our king. And so Jesus sends his disciples out on the water. He escapes into the mountains and is praying. The people then dissipate. They go to their homes. It's now late. And as the disciples are out on the water, Jesus sees them. And what's happening to the disciples in a boat on the water almost always? There's always a storm. At what point in time are the disciples like, why do we keep find ourselves on this water? How can we keep doing this? Right? But there they are, they're out on the water, and Jesus goes walking out to them on the water. And it's at this point in time that Peter walks on the water also, by the way. And then Jesus gets in the boat, and they end up on shore, okay, back near Capernaum, And in verse 22 of chapter 6, the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that Jesus was gone and the boat was gone and everybody was gone. And so they're wondering, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? So what do? They jump in boats and they go to the other side following him, chasing him around the Sea of Galilee. And when they see him, they say, hey, when did you come to this side? Why did you come here? Don't you know that we're looking for you? And Jesus in verse 26 of John 6 says this, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. The word there, fill, you ate your satisfaction of loaves. You are satisfied by me giving you bread. So then they get into a discussion with Jesus about what it means for him to feed them more. And they said to him, what must we do? Verse 27, Jesus says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So they said to him, what sign do you do that we may believe in you? What work will you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So Jesus is saying, you need to believe in me because I'm going to give you eternal life. They're saying, that's great, Jesus, but what you did yesterday was much better because we were able to eat bread. Can you please make some more bread for us? We want more bread. Hey, you remember Moses? He made bread in the wilderness too, right? If you're this prophet, we want some bread. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then they said, sir, give us this bread always. We want more bread. You're telling me that there's an endless supply of physical bread? We'll never go hungry ever again? Boy, that gives us satisfaction and security, right? That's a twofer. You're going to provide bread for us forever? Our kids never have to worry about being hungry? Give us this bread always. Jesus, we'll go wherever you want as long as you keep giving us this bread. We want this bread. And then we land in our verses that we're going to be looking at more detailed today. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is making a sharp distinction here. He's taking the machete, as it were, and bringing it in and making a sharp cut. You're chasing after physical bread. You're chasing after dough. You're chasing after wheat and barley. You're chasing after the physicality of the things. And Jesus is saying, what I'm here to offer you is far greater, far more extensive, far more eternal, far more fundamental, far more needful for you than bread could ever be. What I'm offering to you is the bread of life. Bread that will give you genuine life. Not bread that will just sustain your physical life. I am offering you bread that will give you spiritual life. Oh, I understand that you need physical bread. I created you that way. I understand you have a need for physical bread. But just as you have a need for physical bread, you also have a need for spiritual bread. And the one who is here providing the physical bread for you is also the one who is here to provide the spiritual bread for you. I'm here to provide for the deepest need of your soul. I am here to satisfy your soul. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. How many of us have ever felt hungry? It's pretty common, right? Pretty common. When we feel hungry, what triggers that in our bodies is actually our, did you guys know this? Our brains are picking up on low blood sugar in our bodies, the need to get food, and it sends a signal to our stomachs to start producing acids and to start producing painful experiences in our stomachs. So it's not our stomach that's telling our brain it's hungry, it's our brain telling our stomach it's hungry. And that feeling, that discomfort, that dissatisfaction, that sense of need is a real thing, yeah? It's a real thing. It's a real thing. And what Jesus is saying is just as that's a real need, just as that's a real dissatisfaction, just as that is a real significant, essential part of your life, physical bread, he's saying, me as your spiritual bread, I am that for you. I am essential to your life. I am essential to your health. I am essential to your hope. I am essential to your satisfaction. You will never find true satisfaction even in the physical bread that I can give you until you find satisfaction in me. And that's true today. Take bread and replace it with something else. Success in a career. Success in a relationship. Success in the markets. Success politically, success socially, success whatever it might be. You will never truly be able to appreciate that or enjoy that until you ultimately find your satisfaction in Christ. It will always leave you empty. And you'll be running around looking for more bread. And it will never satisfy. Snickers will keep selling candy bars. Right? Satisfied? No, actually, I'm not. Which is why I'm back buying another one. Jesus is saying, your satisfaction comes from me. What's the promise that he gives here? Well, William Hendrickson says this so appropriately. He who comes to Jesus with a believing heart will in no way get hungry nor ever get thirsty. The meaning is that such a person will receive complete and enduring spiritual satisfaction, perfect peace of the soul. Have you known Jesus in that way? Have you known Jesus as the one who gives you perfect peace in your soul? It's the depth of your need. It's the depth of your need is to know him in that way. There's no greater joy than to know the depth of your need and then to know the satisfying love of your Savior present, living in you, saying, I've got you. I've got you. deeply satisfying. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more satisfying to your soul. Did you know the Lord can dig into your soul in places that you just can't get to? He can get to places where you can't get to. You live essentially on the outside of your soul. He's the only one who can get in there and start messing around with stuff and realize how wonderful he is, where you are satisfied in him. Have you ever experienced that? I have. Lord, how is it that you're living so deeply in me to satisfy my heart in that wonderful, incredible way that I can't even get to that? Only you can do that. Only you can do that. Now, this is something that the Lord has been doing, not just in the New Testament, but the Old Testament as well. So when Jesus says, come to me, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He's actually pulling this out of Isaiah 55. Look at what Isaiah 55 says. As Isaiah writes this, he's writing this as God is inspiring him to speak on behalf of God. In Isaiah 55, Isaiah writes this, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which does not what? Satisfy. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. What God is offering there to his people is relationship with him. Real food. Real satisfaction. Go back and read Isaiah 55. It's incredible. It's incredible. God has always been offering to his people this satisfying, joyful relationship with him. And here's Jesus offering it in front of his people once again. Now, what's the problem? The problem is this. And Jesus says in verse 36, but I said to you that you've seen me and yet you do not believe. Yet you do not believe. They believed in Jesus enough to chase after him for things that they wanted. They believed in Jesus enough to realize that this guy just made bread out of nowhere, and I really like bread, so I'm going to chase after him for more bread. Right? Chase after him for more bread. They believed in him enough to realize that he was going to, or had the capacity to fulfill their most basic needs. But what is Jesus saying here? As you pursue me to fulfill the most basic needs that you have, and as that is the only way in which you're pursuing me, you're treating me like a heavenly butler. You're treating me like a heavenly butler. Jeeves, I want you to get this for me. Jeeves, I want you to get that for me. Jeeves, I want you... Do you guys see what I'm getting at here? Oftentimes people, and we can sometimes do the same thing, have a temptation of treating God as our heavenly butler. Not being interested in relationship with him, not being interested in walking with him, not being interested in that daily communion and that daily intimacy with him. Being more interested in what we can get from him than interested in him himself. This oftentimes happens when people get into a great need. Let's say it's a sickness. And all of a sudden, they want prayer, 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 right? But until that need flares up, they show no interest whatsoever in relationship with the Lord. They're happy to run to God when they can get something from him. But they're not happy to be with him. I'm happy what you have to offer me, but I have no interest in you being with me. I'll take what you can make for me and give to me, but I'm not interested in you giving yourself to me. Jesus says, you come to me asking for bread, chasing after bread, running all the way around the Sea of Galilee looking for bread, but you're not interested in me. You're interested in what I can do for you, what I can do for you. Craig Keener says this, seeking merely what Jesus could provide for them, but not Jesus himself, was not faith. These Galileans who sought Jesus for the wrong reason were not truly coming to him. And so the Galileans and much of the world today find themselves in the position of the Rolling Stones. Right? Dun, 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 dun. You guys know it, right? I can't get no satisfaction. Can't get no satisfaction. Like Keith Richards woke up at about 2:30 in the morning in a hotel in Florida with that running through his head. The guitar riff, and then ultimately the idea of I can't get no satisfaction. And I try, and I try, and I try. And I try. You guys are going to be going home with that stuck in your head, right? But the point of this is Jesus is saying, you're going to be rolling stones for the rest of your life until you come to the living stone. You're going to be rolling stones the rest of your life until you come to the living stone. Who will give you satisfaction? Who will take care of the deepest need of your soul? Who will break you, then heal you? Who will humble you and then exalt you with him? Who will bring you low just so he can draw you up to be with him? We are in great need of finding our satisfaction in him. And until we find our satisfaction in him, we won't know what real satisfaction is. Only comes from him. Only comes from him. Now, we mentioned that we are in need of satisfaction, but we're also in need of security, right? And so Jesus understands that there's this need for security. And so in verse 37, he says this, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given to me, but raise it up on the last day. Jesus is saying here that, verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. Here's the guarantee. Is that when a person comes to Jesus, that person who comes to Jesus is a gift from the Heavenly Father to the Son. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think about that? That if you came to Jesus, if you have trusted Jesus, if you have placed your trust and faith in Jesus, you've come to know who he is. He has entered your soul and lives there and has transformed your heart. If you have done that and you've come to know him as your satisfaction, you can know that the Father himself gave you as a gift to the Son. As a gift. What does that look like? Well, it kind of looks something like this. Kind of looks something like this. Well, the language that Jesus is using here has bridal, marital language in it. You say, Jess, is that really the case? Well, what's the very first miracle that Jesus performs in John? John 2. He makes water into, where does he do that? At a wedding. When he sees the woman in John 4, the Samaritan woman, what does he ask her to do? Go get your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, I know you've had five. There's a marital theme going throughout John. Jesus is offering to be her husband, her heavenly husband, to redeem her, to love her, to care for her, to protect her, to walk with her, to be faithful to her, as a husband should be. And so what does Jesus say here? He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So the Father looks at the Son and he says, my Son, I have a bride for you. And the Son says, you have a bride for me. The Father says, yes, I have a bride for you. And I'm going to give her to you as a gift. You're going to give me a bride as a gift. Yeah, I'm going to give her to you, and you're going to love her. And so the Father walks the bride over to Jesus, and he says, this is your bride. And Jesus says, I love my bride. I care for my bride. I will sacrifice for my bride. I will lay my life down for my bride. I will chase after my bride. I will purify my bride. I will protect my bride. I will be jealous for my bride. And I will love her to the very end. Everlasting to everlasting. She is my bride, and she belongs to me. And I will never cast her out. Never. She is secure with me. She is safe with me. She is beloved by me. And for all eternity, she will find her satisfaction in me, and I will delight in her. She is my bride. The only way that anybody ever comes to Jesus is they come to him as a bride, one who is given by the Father to the Son, and there's no other way. If you believe in Jesus today, the reason why you believe in Jesus today is because the Father has given you to the Son to be the bride, to be loved, to be protected, to be cared for. He says, all that will come to me, I will never cast out. In other words, when you came to know Jesus, he didn't say, wait, can we send this one back? Can we send this one back? No, when you came to Jesus, he said, I will never cast you out. I take you in my arms, and I receive you fully. I receive you without reproach. I take you fully into my grasp, fully into my care. That's security, yeah? I will never cast you out. Did you know that when you came to know Jesus, you came into an eternal relationship with him? A relationship that will last for eternity? And did you know you did nothing for that? The Father gave you to who? The Son. And the Son did what? Drew you in, took you in, and guaranteed that you will never be alone, that he will never cast you out. No matter what you do, he will always love you and pursue you and chase after you, and he will never give up on you. And you are safe with him. You are secure with him. He says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, verse 38, but the will of my Father. Jesus' desire is to do nothing but the will of the Father. He says earlier in John 4, he says, my food is to do the will of my Father. My desire is to do the will of my Father. I have no greater desire than to please my Father. And what pleases my Father is that I love my bride jealously. And I lay my life down for her. And I go to a cross for her. And I take everything that belongs to her. all of her sin, all of her death, all of her shame, all of her brokenness, and I take that to the cross, and I take that into the grave, and I loose the chains of her death and her brokenness, and I raise up on her behalf that she might be united to me, having eternal life with me. Eternal life with me. Eternal life in amount of life, yes. In quantity of life, yes. Eternal life, forever life, but also eternal life in quality of life. The kind of life where you are loving your Heavenly Father and knowing His love for you and enjoying your relationship with Jesus and having Him fill your heart with His love. It is not just a duration of life, it's a quality type of life. When Jesus comes to live in your heart as the bread of life, He renews and changes and transforms your heart in a way to delight in Him in a way in which your heart never knew it could delight. Transformative. Transformative work. Supernatural. Supernatural. Came that you might have eternal life. Jesus did not desire His bride to be separated from Him. Jesus did not desire His bride to ever be separated from Him. And so when Jesus says that He will lose nothing, in verse 39, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing, what that means is that your salvation is just secure, is secure today as it was the day that you first trusted Jesus. And it will be secure tomorrow. It will be secure next month. It will be secure next year. It will be secure until the day you die. And it will be secure for all eternity. There's nothing you have to do to continue to save yourself or make yourself saved. He secures your salvation. He secures your salvation. Can you imagine a wife living with a husband who always felt like she had to keep up some kind of performance in order to be welcome in a house? Am I making sense when I say that, when I ask that question? Can you imagine what it would be for a wife who always felt like she had to do certain things to earn the love of her husband or the acceptance of her husband? Can you imagine what it would be like for that wife to always feel like, does my husband really love me today? Or I better not do that, or he may be mad at me and he may cast me out. What kind of a relationship is that? That's a broken relationship. Jesus is saying, no, I will never cast you out. I will always love you. I will always care for you. That wife who knows that loving care and concern and compassion of her husband, she is in a safe place. She is in a secure place. She is in a place where she knows that she is loved and protected and that she can just be herself before her husband. That's what Jesus is saying. Do you know that you can just be yourself before your Savior? He's not looking for filters. He wants you to be yourself before Him. And you're safe doing that. That I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is what John Calvin says about this. For faith does not look at Christ only as at a distance, but embraces Him, that He may become ours and may dwell in us. It causes us to be incorporated with Him, to have life in common with Him, and in short, to become one with Him. William Hendrickson says, it is through faith i.e. through intimate union with him, assimilating him spiritually as physical bread is assimilated physically, that man attains to everlasting life. You've been united to your Savior. You've been united to Christ by faith through the presence of the Holy Spirit to have his divine life in you so you could participate with him in life, eternal life. And your Savior, your husband, says, I am the satisfaction of your soul. You'll never find a greater satisfaction than me. And I'm the security of your heart. You'll never find a safer place than to be with me. I'm the bread of life. And I'm giving you eternal life. You are my bride, and I have loved you. That's what he's saying. I am your joy. I am your satisfaction.